Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I am Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with a returning guest, someone who I've been speaking to now for like 30 minutes, just chatting and having a great conversation. It's funny how sometimes politics work its way into money, and it's just the way it is. I mean, the way what we do as humans impact money trends, impact where capital flow is going to go. So I know a lot of people, they don't like to talk about politics, but the fact is you have to acknowledge what society is doing to anticipate where money is going to flow. And right now we're seeing society talk about inflation into a mainstream level. We're seeing society talk about cryptocurrency. I mean, and Tom Brady with the red eyes, you know, the Bitcoin eyes. I think there's going to be a day where society is talking about gold and silver. And the good news is that we're talking about it now before the mainstream gets there. And we're going to be talking with Mark O'Byrne right now of goldcore.com. He's founded it in 2003. He's the executive and research director at Goldcore. Mark, thank you so much for coming on Crush the Street with me once again.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for having me on again. And just to qualify, I was executive director of Goldcore. I've actually retired from the day-to-day, and I work as a consultant now myself in my own company, Health Wealth Gold, and I still consult for Goldcore, obviously, the company I founded.
Well, we'll have the links in the description area. Yeah, okay, it's kind of crazy right now. I think it's very fascinating what we're seeing with inflation. I saw a Babylonian Bee article. I love how they're trolls. You know, they're out there just kind of with their jokes and tongue in cheek articles. They got a picture of Biden signing a bill. It says Biden proposes a $2 trillion bill to study what's causing inflation rates to rise. And it's just hilarious, you know? And so what are your thoughts on this? I mean, this is becoming more mainstream, and it took literally trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars for this to come into the forefront of the mainstream minds.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, I think inflation's been there, and I think we've covered it in previous conversations. Inflation's long been there in recent years. There's been quite a lot of inflation, particularly the inflation went into the asset markets, as we know, and into the stock market and the bond market and the property markets. But inflation wasn't in the popular consciousness, you know. There was also inflation in quite a bit of inflation, even in the consumer goods and services, there's been inflation. But I think the official statistics are not capturing this true extent of the inflation, and there are other indices. The CPI, Consumer Price Index, in most countries around the world, including the US, does not seem to be fit for purpose, because it's suggesting that inflation is at 1 or 2%, you know, when most of us know in our own experience, and now our own experience is being reflected in the media. They're having to acknowledge that inflation is much higher than it is. So Shadow Stats, John Williams, he has been saying that inflation, real inflation, if you measured inflation the way they used to measure inflation back, say, even as late as the early 1990s, there's been huge what are called hedonic adjustments. So the way they measure inflation, they've actually changed it, you know. And it's a bit, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics. You can actually manipulate the statistics and you can change the data and work with a spreadsheet in order to get the numbers you want, type of thing. But he says that real inflation is running between 7, 8, 9, 10% for many years now, you know. And now we're seeing, particularly in recent months, there has been a huge jump in the value of many of the raw materials and the commodities. And what happens is we see this first in the commodity prices, then you see it in the factory prices, and then ultimately filters through into the consumer prices and what we're paying, you know. And we all know when we put petrol and diesel in a car, the prices have gone up quite a bit in recent months and years. But there's a great, I don't know if you saw this, there was a photo montage with the data of the increase in prices on various foodstuffs that we would all use in terms of our daily breakfast and lunch and dinner and electricity and gasoline. So basically food and energy primarily. And they basically said that since the start of the year, in a whole host of items, groceries, energy, home goods, prices are rising really quickly in a very short period of time. So bacon, I'll give you just a few highlights. Bacon is up 11%. Bread is up 11%. So your bacon sandwich is up 11% already just in the last, this year in effect, you know. So that's what, four and a half months five months basically. So we're not even in 6 months, you know, and your bacon sandwich is up 11%, chicken is up 10%, coffee is up 8%, eggs 7%, milk 3%, oranges, and that's going to filter through your oranges, 8%, gasoline 22%, corn 44%. And corn is an interesting one because corn is a product that's used in a huge amount of the processed foods that we consume, you know. So that's real, a lot of inflation there. Cotton 10%, appliances 15%. And that's actually where there's been disinflation in recent years, is electrical appliances and electrical devices and iPads and iPhones. You know, the price has been coming down, or more they adjust the price because the technology, the productivity device is going up. So they adjust that and say, well, the price of technology is going down, but now some of these things are going up, you know, and it's very interesting. And lumber, I think I had a look at it there before, just before we came on. I brought up the chart. So lumber is obviously going to feed through into the construction industry and the building of housing in particular. Lumber's up 115% just this year to date, you know, and we're only mid-May. Ethanol 70%, lean hogs 59%. So that lean hogs, we said bacon is up 11%, but lean hogs is up 59%. So that's strongly suggest that bacon is going to go much higher, you know. Soybean oil 53%, gasoline 51%, corn 51%, canola 41%, heating oil 37%, copper again, that goes into construction, housing, residential housing, commercial, real estate, and copper is up 35-36%. And then the big ones, oil is up 34%. So it's there, inflation is happening, and now belatedly the mainstream media, they're being forced to cover it, you know, because these price gains are so extreme in such a short period of the time that this is a real, real issue, you know, and it's going into the mainstream consciousness. And I think they're being forced to cover it, like a lot of issues these days. So sometimes right. they only cover it when they really have to, you know, when it becomes glaringly obvious and it cannot be denied or dismissed as a far right, alt-right theory.
I kind of think that it's Elon Musk in a way. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've seen inflation with lumber. I mean, the real estate cost, I think, is the most obvious thing because it's the biggest expense for people, and having to deal with that and how big of an impact on someone's finances that is. But I feel like the other ones almost can slip under the radar to a certain degree. But you have the biggest names in the world saying, hey, we're going to buy Bitcoin or Dogecoin because there's problems with the US dollar and the fiat currency system. I mean, even on SNL, you know, he's pulling out Michael Che is pulling out the dollar and, you know, what is this? And then, you know, Elon Musk goes, you know, it's sort of a real thing. You know what I mean? Like he's really planting the seed into people's minds that, well, maybe there's something to question here. And people are asking questions about the amount of debt. And so becoming more mainstream, like, hey, there's some issues here. And it's almost like a black hole because once people start going that direction, it may be impossible to reverse the capital if people all of a sudden dump fiat currencies. And I know that sounds so extreme, but I mean, I don't know what to. I mean, we've just seen such extreme things happen that I don't put anything by what could happen in this world.
Yeah, you're right not to. Because, yeah, we've seen, you know, all sorts of things. You know, the mainstream said that Trump would never be elected. The mainstream said that Brexit would never happen. You know, the pandemic and the extreme reaction in the form of lockdowns. None of these things were predicted. So you have to go prepare for these worst case scenarios. But yeah, hope for the best, but be prepared for less benign scenarios, you know, and you're particularly focusing, we're focusing on the inflation, and ultimately inflation is a phenomena of people think it's rising prices, which it is to a degree. That's how you experience it in your day to day. But it's more that you're losing the purchasing power of that dollar that Elon Musk was dismissing. You know, it's the value of the currency is being devalued over time, you know, and that's what inflation really is. And we're beginning to see it in a big way. And you're right. It's once they start going down that rabbit hole of the monetary system, and they're becoming these younger people now. And I heard of a teenager, a friend of mine's daughter, who's 15, and she was buying some cryptocurrency. And I know most of the cryptocurrencies because I've done a fair bit of research and I own some of them. And I believe there's a place for them in a portfolio. You know, I do see them as a little bit more speculative. I don't see them as safe havens like gold and silver, but I do think that they could do very well. This little girl who knows nothing about money, she's never invested in anything in her life before, and she's buying cryptocurrencies, you know. So the younger generation are now becoming aware of the complete unsustainability of the financial and monetary system, and they're voting with their energy, and money is ultimately a form of energy, and they are not going to put their money into banks and do what we used to do as kids, or even put their few coins or dollars and nickels and pounds or euros into the piggy bank. They looks like they're going to embrace cryptocurrencies, you know, and therefore it's going to be very interesting. The central banks are going to react, and they're going to try position their DCBCs, their digitally backed our central bank, the digital central bank currencies, and that's what's going to happen. And they're going to clamp down the cryptocurrencies, and that's what creates a degree of risk. But it's hard to know. I think it's a bit like gold and silver. I think ultimately the free market will decide, you know. And if they could have got rid of gold and silver years ago and completely banned it and prohibited it and financially repressed it, they would have. But they couldn't. There's 8 billion people on this planet. There are free markets. We still are free sovereign individuals in most countries, despite the quite draconian lockdowns we've seen. We still have many human rights and civil rights, thank God. And we need to, we need to all start voting with our money and using it. It's a powerful, because the election themselves haven't seen the results that we would have expected to see, shall we say, you know, in terms of democracy. So how you use your money every single day is a form of you're voting for the type of world you want to see, you know, and that's what's powerful about, you know, being a sovereign being. When you have gold and silver coins and bars, you have a little bit of cryptocurrencies, you become sovereign, you become independent of this system, which looks increasingly vulnerable and fragile.
Well, and it's interesting how we've seen this take place. What are your thoughts then with the bubbles we've seen in, I mean, I'm calling it a bubble. I know people will be offended by that. I mean, people know that I've covered cryptocurrency here very early and I've been very fond of them. And we've been positioned early and it's been life-changing for me and some of the people that have purchased them early in the day. And so I'm very grateful to it. But at the same time, I'm not ignorant to what happens during bubbles, and what we're seeing right now is just seems very excessive. It may have happened too quickly, too fast. You have just everyone talking about it. I mean, I have people calling me saying they want to become an investor in crypto that have never invested in their life, and you know, and I appreciate that in the sense that I think it's good that people are taking an interest in money and changing their finances, but it's just also the nature of what happens in bull markets where people are just making tens of thousands of dollars easy, and then other people want to make tens of thousands of dollars easy, and it just creates this euphoria, and then most of the capital that's going into crypto now is happening at these prices. That's the problem. And so a small move down, then you have people sell. And then that's when the crashes take place. And that doesn't mean I don't believe that we're going back and higher a few years down the road, but at just in the current environment, it seems like a big bubble.
It does, and it has all the hallmarks of a bubble. And, you know, I've studied bubbles throughout history, and I've got all the books on it, you know. And the great book is Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, you know. And we just, it gets that herd behavior, the collective psychology. Everybody believes you can't go wrong. Bitcoin's going to go to the moon. And it's, you know, Elon Musk said it's going to go to a million or whatever it is. And I don't know if Elon Musk said that, he probably did, but you know, they always have, and there's always a price. And it's like, hang on a second. We've seen this before so many times, and Bitcoin could go to a million, but it's binary. It could also, in a worst case scenario, go to zero if there was extreme regulatory clampdown and financial repression, you know, and these governments have shown themselves to be very powerful, including with the lockdowns and things that we never thought we'd see in our lifetimes, you know, in free, so-called free market, free capitalist societies, you know. So So yeah, I think it is seeing mass adoption, and I think we're going to see a serious shakeout, and we'll see another very sharp correction, and this latest phase of the mania will burst more probably in the coming days and weeks, and then the question is, do we, do we do base again, consolidate again, and then get into an even bigger manic phase, and potentially will, given what we previously talked about, which is the devaluation of the currencies, and the national debt of every single country in the world is going up. It's going parabolic, and ultimately when they go parabolic, the dollar goes the opposite direction, and these gold, silver, and these the cryptocurrencies, that's why they're going up, and they're a symptom of a decline of the dollar ultimately, and yeah, I mean, we talk, it's the same with stock markets, still there's a lot of indications that the stock market's all-time record highs, the retail investors are flying in. You've seen that what's the app, is it the Robinhood app, or one of the apps is the, I think it was the most popular app on the iPhone there in recent weeks. So people are, young people are just speculating, and it's terrible because it's actually symptomatic. The same thing happened in Weimar Germany, and it happens in many countries when people almost give up hope of having a productive job or a productive career. It's actually they're just trying to get rich because they don't see any other way to better themselves. They're worried, they don't want to get into debt to get the degree, to get the education, because they're worried, even if I get into debt and I get the degree, there may be no job for me in that sector, and there's, there's less and less very good long-term careers, long-term jobs for these young people. The outlook is very, very uncertain, obviously, as uncertain as we've ever seen it, arguably. So they're worried. They're worried about their job prospects, and a lot of them are trying to make a bit of money so they can get out of their mom and dad's house and have a bit of a life for themselves, So they're speculating basically in stocks and in cryptocurrencies, and then there is a bit of people, and there is quite a lot of it in the crypto space of people who understand that the currency, the fiat currency system is not sustainable. So there's a bit of that going on, but it's actually a bit of both. It's actually speculation. It's a bit of, it's almost desperation, and it's a reaction to the currency debasement as well,
Absolutely. Well, and we've seen what has happened with stocks lately. The indices are at all-time highs, essentially. And but the stocks that a lot of these millennials, these new investors have been buying are down. That's the problem. You got the Coinbase IPO went to $400 and then went back down. You have Tesla, which is the safe haven for a lot of these
poster
high
boy.
growth stocks, is down 25%. But then you got the other ones that are down 50%, 70%, 80%, that a lot of people have speculated in. So, if you just own the regular S&P 500, you're not feeling it. You don't know what's going on. But I mean, we've seen what has happened just with a lot of the influencers on YouTube, the massive spike in interest when it comes to stock education went through the roof, and especially with these high growth companies that were going up like crazy, doubling and tripling, and people were just so excited about it. And what was, and I'll add to that, kind of circling back to what we were talking about previously, a lot of these same people who were covering these high growth stocks have now pivoted to crypto. And that's what's been keeping their influence alive, is that, you've pivoted to crypto and that's been doing good. But I mean, I guess you got to find a bull market somewhere. But
Well,
in reality, that sector has absolutely collapsed. And people are very demoralized when it comes to that. And I'm just curious how that might impact stocks as a whole going forward here.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I think the indices themselves are very overvalued, but particularly the tech stocks were the most overvalued, and still are. And yeah, I in fairness, I've thought they were overvalued, and it looked like a bubble to me a year, 2 years ago. I think when Dow hit 20,000 or maybe even 25,000, I was like, it had a big move up in a short period of time, So the thing is that stocks can keep going higher, and if they create enough money, enough, not money they're creating there, because money is gold and silver, they're creating currency, they're creating digital dollars on a screen, and if they create enough of those dollars and inject it into the financial system, then it could push stock markets even higher, So, and these so-called growth stocks, they're not really, they're more, they call them growth stocks because they've seen phenomenal growth, but they're quite speculative tech stocks, really. You know, they're highly speculative. They're not your sort of standard blue chip companies that have done well in different market cycles, you know. So yeah, I will be very worried indeed. And it's just it's speculation, and they're not thinking about one of the fundamentals of stocks, which is, you know, sort of value investing. What's the price earnings? You know, what is the intrinsic value of this company in terms of the profitability, the book value? What's the outlook for the company? It's just all, it's a greed, actually. And greed is the hallmark of all bull markets, you know. And towards the end of the bull market, you see a huge amount of greed and a huge amount of complacency and no understanding of the cyclical nature of all markets, and that there's bull markets and there's bear markets. So we're due quite a big bear market at some stage. You know, we've had a big bull market, but who knows? They are, you know, Biden is putting in another $2 trillion. Some of that will find its way into the markets. Leverage is at all-time record highs. So who knows, the price go higher, but we could get, we started a conversation about inflation, and you know, economic growth looks very vulnerable, given that they've destroyed the backbone of many of our economies, is the small to medium enterprises. You know, the mom and pop firms have been shut down in many states and in many states of America, in many countries around the world, and these are the backbone of our economy. They employ the most people and they generate the most tax revenues, and you know, these are your small businesses, your restaurants, your bars, your guy who cuts the grass business, your guy who fixes the windows. All these businesses are just huge, and a lot of them were shut down, you know, so they destroyed the backbone of the economy. So I think we're going to have probably stagflation, which is declining economic growth and very high inflation, and in that scenario stocks could actually be volatile, but goes ultimately sideways for a period of time, you know, and that's what we saw in the 1970s. The Dow Jones was at roughly 1,000 in 1970, and by 1980, the Dow Jones was still at 1,000, and it fluctuated in the band, you know, quite wildly, a lot of fluctuation, a lot of volatility in the 1970s, obviously, but it basically went sideways for the 10 years. Meanwhile, inflation went through the roof, the dollar was devalued, and gold went up, you know, 2,400%. Gold went from $35 in 71 to $850. And silver went from, you know, below $4 to $50. So it went 10x, which all the millennials want 10x. Well, they'll be getting 10x. They'll be getting 10x in gold and silver in the coming months. They've already got 10x in their Bitcoin. So anyway, yeah, it speaks to diversification. You know, have a little bit in stocks, you know, and if you want to speculate, have a little bit in that speculation. There's nothing wrong with speculation, but don't put all your money into speculative assets. Have some of it in gold and silver. And I wish the younger generation, because sometimes the older, even the financial advisors and guys on Wall Street, they tell the young people, you can have a much higher risk appetite and you can just speculate because you're very young and you've got time. And I've always disagreed with that. I always think that young people should put small bit away into very safe things, and the power of compounding, you know, you're not getting a yield on your deposits, but gold's return over the last 40-50 years has been roughly 9% per annum. So gold compounds over time because the currency is devaluing. So if every young person, you know, people, you know, in their 40s or 50s now was putting money in gold back when they were 18, 19, 20, and they put a little bit of gold and silver every single year for the last 30 years, they'd have a very powerful nest egg indeed, you know. So yeah, I think it makes sense, even from a young age, have something in more conservative, safe haven assets, and then have a little bit in the speculative stuff as well, you know. And always be closing, always be taking profits on those speculative assets. Don't, you know, they tend to just look for the, you know, if you get 10x, you should be happy. Sell it, you know, and buy something that's undervalued, and always be selling overvalued assets and rebalancing it with that speculation. If you do really well, take some profits in it and put it into something that's undervalued, you know. And I think gold is down roughly 4% this year. It's one of the few assets that has actually underperformed. And that's partly because it's done so well in the last 2 years, you know. So, but gold does look very undervalued, as does silver. So the millennials should start looking at it, you know, because billionaires like Sam Zell, who've been anti-gold all their life, are coming to gold now. So if a man who's that successful in real estate, one of the most successful real estate investors in the world, is now saying, for the first time ever, I'm investing in gold. Now, the millennials and young people need to learn from a man like that.
Mark, just to close off that gold and silver conversation, we're seeing gold go over $1,800 here, which I think was a good psychological resistance threshold. In general, in the short term here, with what we're seeing in stocks and inflation and just everything else being overvalued, and gold and silver seemingly the under things that have underperformed relative to the everything else, real estate, what have you. What are your thoughts here going forward? What is your instinct as to what could happen here?
My instinct is that the dollar is going to go much lower, the euro, the pound, all these currencies. I was looking at the US national debt there, 28.3 billion. That's just the nominal national debt, the government debt, but the private debt in the US in terms of the corporate debt, the banking debt on Wall Street, the student debt. I think the student debt's nearly hitting 1 trillion, you know, credit card loans, mortgages. It's just astronomical, you know, so the entire debt of the US is astronomical. And then they have off balance sheet liabilities of 100 trillion. Japan, as we know, is a basket case for years. They're hitting towards 1 quadrillion dollars in national debt. So we've been talking about the million word, then we used to talk about the billion word, then we're talking about the trillion word, you know. And a trillion is one with 12 zeros. People need to realize that 12 zeros is a lot of zeros. I'm not going to read out 0000 all the way for you. It's a lot of zeros. It's a big number, you know. And Biden's put in 2 trillion. So the dollar and the euro, and the eurozone has as much problems, if not even worse problems. You know, you look at France and Spain and Italy, you know, and China has its own debt issues. So there's very few economies in the world that look good. The global debt to GDP is around 300%. It's roughly 300 trillion in debt for 100 trillion in global GDP. So the whole thing is it may collapse, and one way or the other, we're going to see very high inflation. The question is, do we have stagflation or virulent inflation, or even worst case scenario, hyperinflation, you know? So everybody needs to buy gold coins, gold bars, silver coins, silver bars, own it in the safest way possible. If you feel very safe taking delivery of it, take delivery of some if you feel very safe in your own home, or store it in the safest vaults in the world in America, or having some offshore, maybe prudent as well, you know. And if you do that, and everybody should do that, even young people, you know, people think, oh, it's so expensive. But is Bitcoin not expensive at, you know, what is it, 80,000, 100,000? I can't keep up. You know, is Ethereum not expensive at 35,000 or whatever? So all these things have gone crazy. Tesla has gone crazy. Everything in the world is expensive. Gold and silver are actually cheap, but these people don't realize it, you know. So even if you can just have one gold coin, that will really stand to you in the scenario of very, very serious inflation, you know. So yeah, diversify, and you know, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's so true, you know. It will protect people, and not just protect, it's defensive, it's a safe haven. But I think you will see very significant capital gains indeed in the coming months and years, you know.
Mark O'Byrne, everyone. Mark, if people want to learn more about you, the work you do, where can they go and what can they expect to find?
Yeah, well, I'm still working with Gold Course Consultants, so I do the podcast there, and I do some research for Stephen and David. I set up my own company, Health Wealth Gold, and I consult to the gold industry, and indeed to the businesses, small, medium enterprises who need mentors and advisors. I haven't set up that website yet, so you'll get me on Twitter. It's at Mark T. O'Byrne, and you get me on LinkedIn. They're the primary channels at the moment. I'm just in the process of creating my new website. And you'll get me there. And thanks again for having me on, Kenneth. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations to you and what you're doing, Mark. Looking forward to having you on again in short order.
Look forward to that. Yeah. I hope to see you over in Texas one of these days. I'm very proud of what's happening in Texas. You guys are weathering the storm quite well compared to most countries around the world.
Yeah. Well, I like to think so, but we have our infestations of diseases as well. So.
Oh, do you?
Unfortunately, okay, well, but you know, I share that sentiment as well.
The disease of lockdown or COVID. we won't go there today. Yeah,
exactly. All right, Mark. Thanks for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you. Take care.